First of all, I wanted to say that today I complete 1 year in this position, and I want to thank you all for the opportunity and the challenges, and for a very educational and in many ways, despite any disagreements and disputes, a very exciting and rewarding year.
Wow.
Secondly, I know that we're going to get into probably the issue, an issue that is somewhat contentious, but I wanted to at least give you a little bit of good news, positive news. Today, for example, at a conference call of the national and management staff, and as you know, we have these meetings about twice a month now and have had for the last year. We had 17 people on the call, including Amy Goodman and one of her development people. This was a long-arranged call to discuss of streamlining and improving our ability to help each other, and particularly in the area of fundraising on the air, which Amy does so much for us on. We discuss pitching and premiums, and it was a very productive and interesting meeting. We also approved two new proposals for upcoming specials. One next Tuesday night, we'll be doing a special on the State of the Union. That will be broadcast on KPFA, on WBAI, and WPFW. KPFT is probably not going to broadcast that because they have some new programming, Spanish language programming, that they really don't want to preempt so early in the development of it. And KPFK also has plans to cover the State of the Union locally, and so they're going to handle it in a different way. But this will be a national special for about 2.5 hours, although in the case of KPFA, they will probably not be covering the pre-show, and will come in at the speech and cover the post-speech discussion and call-in. In addition, we'll have a coverage of two marches against the war from tomorrow on the 27th. One in the East Coast, and there's also a march on the West Coast as well. And on the East Coast, we'll have WBAI and WPFW will be carrying those live, the East Coast march live. The other stations, KPFK and KPFA, will cover that march, carry the coverage on a delay, and KPFK will also be tying that into their own coverage of the West Coast march, and KPFT will air the tape later in the day. And so we also worked that out, and Nathan Moore, who came on board this week, was involved in the discussion and working out the details of those two proposals, and is continuing to work on them now, as a matter of fact. But, of course, people want to talk about habeas corpus, which we discuss at every meeting. I sent you around a report, but for those people who are listening on the stream, just to summarize a little bit of that, following up on the PMB's motion of last fall, there was an editorial statement developed, and it has been aired on a number of stations, KPFT, KPFK, KPFA, I know of, for sure, WBAI as well. There has been some discussion of carrying Center for Constitutional Rights programming, either weekly updates or an hourly show that's a weekly show. We haven't really seen any decisions on that at the other stations outside of New York, where it is aired initially, these discussions go on. Which brings us to the present day. This past week, yesterday, there was a hearing. Most of you on the call know about it, a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. And this was a proposal that was put forward over last weekend. Often these are very rapidly developing events. We like to have a lot of discussion about how we're going to cover them and whether we're going to cover them or who will participate and what the nature of carriage is going to be. But it's in the nature of fast-breaking developments that you can't always do that. My feeling was that pursuing the board's motion of last fall, particularly on habeas corpus and constitutional rights issues, seemed like an ideal topic and an ideal opportunity. And after the proposal was developed at KPFA, I started to, you know, encourage stations to carry it. Now, I know it's been said that I have overstepped my authority on this, and that's, I think, probably going to be the subject of some of our discussion. What I will say to you about that is just to start, is simply this, is that, number one, I felt that I was, in good faith, following up on a board, national board motion on an important matter of there seemed to be a broad consensus on, and that part of that motion was to use the facilities of the network to keep this issue in the public eye. Secondly, although there's been a lot of discussion back and forth about the issue of mandating carriage, no one has yet brought to my attention a clear policy one way or the other. And as you know, I've been urging you since really the first day I arrived to begin to grapple with that one way or the other. But I don't think events stand still. And in the absence of clear policy, decisions still have to be made, because in the end, this is a news organization as well as an organization committed to political principles. No stations were in the end forced to carry this program. Three stations did carry it, KPFA, KPFT, and PFW carried the first 4 hours. At WBAI, the general manager agreed to carry it, and his decision was preempted. And we could discuss that a little bit further, I suppose, although some matters relate to questions that shouldn't be discussed in open session. KPFK decided not to carry it, KPFT did carry it. I think it was a very important event. I think that if you listen to the hearing, you understand why it was important. The listenership at KPFA shot up during this broadcast, which demonstrates the attraction of the issue, and it's really the kind of thing that this network should be doing. And I've said since I started work here that we really need at some point to begin acting like a network, and I know there's a strong feeling that no one should ever be forced to carry a program the argument's been made that general managers and the local station interests should also always take precedence. But I think that this is a balancing act, and that part of the job that I have, and it's not always a popular position to take, is to make it. I urge you also to consider how you want your policies that you pass to be implemented on this, on Spanish language news, last year on net neutrality. Without an ability to actually follow up with some measure of authority, these motions and decisions do not have much weight, and we end up making promises that we can't keep. And I think it's very important to keep those promises. And on this issue, a fundamentally important issue, I think that we did keep that promise. And in the future, Nathan Moore will have much more to do with this, and I don't anticipate that this will come up again. I think we'll be developing a calendar, and we'll be developing much more clear policies. But I do believe that there are times in which this network should speak with one voice.
Point of information, David?
Telling people we have 5 minutes left for the item. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I just want to note that KPFK streamed the Gonzalez hearings. And then I also want to ask, Greg, when did you become aware of the date for the Gonzalez hearings, and when did that become public?
I became aware of it on Saturday morning, and I began emailing people immediately.
Saturday the 13th?
Yep. Immediately.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments for the ED?
This is Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Bob Lederer. I just wanted to first say that I think it's very important that the board has taken the position that we did, that the whole issue of habeas corpus is absolutely critical and that Pacifica should be stepping up its coverage on it. And so I think, you know, moving to have some kind of coverage of these hearings was a good thing to do, was an important contribution. Having said that, though, I think it's really important that we distinguish between the board's position that the executive director and all the parts of Pacifica should do everything possible to maximize coverage of the issue versus the position that a particular program must be carried by a particular station, regardless of how that meshes or doesn't mesh with the needs and concerns of that local community and the ways that they may be covering the issue locally. And so I'm extremely concerned about the fact that the executive director issued an email on Tuesday that said that the Thursday hearing is a mandated carriage. As he's just said, this board has never authorized mandated carriage. And so I don't think that is something that any executive director has the authority to do, and so I'd like to offer a motion.
Deb, before you offer a motion, Bob, I'd like to ask you a question, if I might.
Sure.
Can you show me the motion that the board has passed in which it says that anything that is not authorized is thereby prohibited? You understand my point. My point is that you have not spoken on this issue, and therefore it is not clear to me that there is any prohibition, and I have been told by many people in the organization that it is possible to mandate carriage. I have been encouraged on many occasions to do that. So I'd like to know on what basis you believe there is a prohibition. Could you point me to the motion that was passed that indicates that?
May I get on the stack, Dave?
I'm going to let Bob respond, and then we'll and make his motion if he chooses, and then we'll go on from there.
I think it's a basic principle of any organization that has a board of directors and a management that the management operates based on the directives of the board of directors, of the policy authority granted by the board of directors. The idea that the failure to prohibit something allows an executive director to do whatever she or he wants, to me, is a very seriously problematic way of approaching the relationship between governance and management. And I've never heard of that in any other organization, that anything that, you know, that there's an endless list of things that an executive director might choose to do that would be totally defiant and contradictory to what a board wants. So is the board supposed to spend time passing motions saying, you can't do this, you can't do that? And especially given that, as we have discussed with the executive director before, there's a long history of extreme outrage and controversy in the 90s when previous executive directors imposed must-carry rules over the strong objections of not just local station management, but staff and listeners who said, you know, that's not the programming we want here. And that's why we haven't gone down that path before. So I think it's quite clear that this board has never authorized that. And the motion last fall on this very subject specifically didn't authorize it except for a single editorial statement that it said should be covered on all stations. If we'd wanted to go further, we would have.
And was it carried on all stations?
You've just given the report.
In fact, it probably was not. My point is that your actions, your board's actions in not being clear about the conditions under which this is or is not appropriate have led to ambiguity and in many cases direct insubordination. You are not acting as a network. You are acting as a loose confederation of stations, and your actions encourage people to defy your own measures. I've made this point many, many times, Now, in point of fact, made their own decisions. So in point of fact, in practice, there was no mandate that was carried out. I tested a principle, and what we discovered in the process was that local control does rule at this station. But if you want to create, you know, a policy on must carry, I would encourage you and have encouraged you to do that. I think a prohibition would be a big mistake, but that's, of course, your right.
May I
be on the staff? Mr. Chair.
David,
Lisa,
Allen.
Hang on, I had Lisa.
I won't get on the
staff,
too.
I thought Bob had a motion.
Don White.
Can you hold on to it? Ray?
Can't he move
Dave, please
motion?
Read the list. I think I was third.
What's Bob's motion?
There is
Bob
a motion.
Not make the
there
motion.
Is a motion. There
well,
is
no one's let him.
Lisa,
Bob?
Amber, Allen, I think, who else did I hear?
Don
Ron
White.
Ambrose.
Stacey Bird.
Dave, I had asked if I could make the motion.
Okay, go ahead and make the motion.
Okay. The PNB affirms that its motion passed on October 1st, 2006 to, quote, use the resources of the foundation to educate and inform the public on the dangers, unquote, of legislation revoking habeas corpus rights for non-citizens does not authorize the national office to impose any requirement for Pacifica stations to carry any programming on this issue other than the one Pacifica public statement on the issue contained in the motion. That's my motion.
For a second?
Second.
Second.
If there's a new stack, I want to get on it, David.
Don White.
Patty here. Patty also.
Steve.
Lisa. I have Lisa, Ambrose, Allen, Ray, Don, AC, Patty. Lisa.
Okay. I just want to first of all say, I know something was mentioned in reference to the the
Lisa,
audit of the...
Lisa,
yes?
You're almost inaudible.
I'm sorry.
Real loud.
Speak louder, Lisa.
Hello, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
It's,
that's better.
It's a question of clarity more than of volume, so if you could speak more directly into the speaker, it's probably the what's going
okay,
on.
Okay, now?
Much better.
Okay. I want to say, first of all, that there was a reference to a statement made about... somebody within WVAI disobeying the IGM, and I just want to say that none of these parties are here right now. I don't think we should get into that kind of commentary since they're not here to tell their sides, and we don't know exactly what happened. So I just want to say that. But also, I also want to say that I don't think it's really fair to say that we haven't developed a policy, or even to say that the policy that we have developed is ambiguous. We worked hard, and if Rob is here, he can talk about this. But I'm on the programming committee, and I know that we worked long and hard and had so many discussions, and a lot of the discussions was around the issue of must carry or how do we work in a collaborative manner. And there are points within the programming policy that this board passed that talked about instances. For example, it says our special commission programming, short-term national programming may be commissioned in response to emergent or short or unforeseen events, but such programming will be planned in consultation with local stations. It talks about network broadcasts that are produced collaboratively between stations, reporters, hosts, and programming collectives. I mean, we so emphasize working collaboratively. So... And there was a reason we didn't put must carry in there. I mean, and I just think that it's really not, I don't think it's really fair to just characterize it as it's so ambiguous, because I think the one thing that's not ambiguous in this programming policy is the emphasis on working together, trying to work collaboratively, getting input, hearing from the stations, understanding those dynamics to do that. It's not going to work well just saying to people, you just got to do this. Sometimes people just have to have more of an understanding for a process, even if they disagree with it. But there's certainly no ambiguity about working collaboratively and getting input and working with stations. You know, I just have to put that we did develop a national programming policy, and it was passed by this board.
Thank you, Ambrose.
I just want to ask a great question. Were any of the affiliate stations able to carry the program?
I believe some did, but I couldn't give you a count on that. Ursula sent out a notice to the stations right at the beginning of the week, right as she was returning from Memphis, but she's in a better position, and that's kind of hard to monitor until after the fact.
Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, if you understand, this whole thing was developed over a 72-hour period. You know, we got word on Saturday. We had the proposal by Monday. We were trying to contact people. I did speak to people at the stations. Concerns from a couple of people. Ron Pinchback did pull out of the broadcast in the middle by mutual agreement. You know, and stations did make their own decisions. But this is the news business, and I appreciate what Lisa is saying, but the characterization that I am not a collaborative person will not stand up, and when you finally get the results of my evaluation, you will find that out for yourself. On the other hand, I am also a journalist, and I believe that you have to sometimes make tough decisions, and you have to make them quickly.
Alan, were you done, Ambrose?
Oh, yeah.
Actually a little bit of echoing from what Lisa was saying, because I worked on the committee as well. And as a producer at Pacifica who works daily with programming, I played a very hands-on role on the development of the calendar element of that proposal, and also around participation in national broadcasts, which I really felt I was mandated to do because it was such an issue for my own constituency, the KPFK staff. And I think that as Nathan moves into the job, it's very important that job be in constant contact with constantly updating a calendar with the program directors. Since I've been working at Pacifica, there's been a real void on these issues. And finally, I think the position of program coordinator is getting filled. I consider that very central to the person filling that position's role, to be always on top of this. Now, you said that Gonzalez things, it only became public on Saturday. I think it's very clear that even if we don't know the precise date, it's important for the person in that position to keep track of when possibly high-profile testimonies will be going on at the congressional level. We really, really need advance notice on that, and then the heads can work together to decide what the role is going to be in terms of national broadcast. The one stipulation that I think was consistent within the programming committee was for exceptional circumstances, Katrina's, 911s, things like that, where something can happen very quickly. I do think a nice collaborative note that you're putting out there, Greg, is to note that you seem satisfied with KPFK, because it does strike me that your motivation there is, as you say, you're partly a journalist. Just important to know that the State of the Union is being carried on every station. As somebody in the position that I'm in, I was surprised at the short notice with which I received for this. And so that's my position. I just highly, highly believe that this board, which I'm not going to leave probably after tonight, has to be very attentive to the manner in which the program coordinator fulfills the duties around this particular issue, the maintenance of a calendar and coordination and communication among all interested parties. So that,
Alan, can I ask
buy-in.
You a simple question? When did you become aware that this was being contemplated?
I only heard about it, I believe, on Tuesday.
Right, because I started to write to Armando on Saturday.
Right. Well, I only heard about it on Tuesday.
I can't communicate with everybody. If you understand my
point. Well, I understand that I'm not on the loop in this, but Armando and Eva are the important people to contact. And, but the thing to me was certainly, and for instance, if I only had 2 days notice on something like this that doesn't rise to a level of, and this is just my opinion, so please everybody take this with just simply as Alan's opinion, doesn't rise to a level of a Katrina or a 9/11, then 2 days notice, I think the national office has to be very considerate of all the hosts and how every host who has a show planned for that day has set it up with guests already. We're mainly stations which have volunteer programmers, and they feel very burned when all the work that they've done to set up their shows get called at the last second. So even you know, and it was a holiday weekend, so there were those considerations to take in mind. Again, I just want to move forward on this. Bob's motion doesn't relate to anything except for this particular instance, so I'm agnostic on how this comes out, but I think moving forward, keep all that in mind.
I'm going to start enforcing time because we don't have time to get through everybody. I apologize. I'm going to start enforcing the time we agreed to.
Thank you for indulging me, David.
Ray.
Okay. I think there are many good points being made here, but I think that beyond the specifics of short notice or even expecting WBAI, which is having difficulties financially in the middle of a drive, to drop it and miscarry, to me, there's a this is clearly we're dealing with a different animal here, and it's like, you know, if you have one person making a decision, it's like a more efficient process, and I have problem deciding. Except in extreme cases where there would be no input locally. And what bothers me more, Greg, I think, and some people are even saying that it was a run to try to achieve something that was questionable, and it was questioned by some people, is that there have been some very serious difference. I don't think that you are not a cooperative person. I think that you have a different view about how Pacifica should be run in terms of the role of the national office, the executive director, in such decision. I think that the warning should have been that because we had such strong disagreement about it, and even though it was not resolved, we couldn't have, maybe, my position is that you should have acted as though it had been resolved. So for me, I don't even think Bob's resolution is necessary, because I think the resolution very clearly said the only part of the resolution that states that something has to be done is to announce it on the air, and there's nothing else. And even though I do agree, to me, it's making decisions and choices about very difficult issues either way. And there's no, so therefore, by doing that process, we lose something and we gain something that some of us consider as being as important or stronger.
Point of information is 12:29 East Coast time.
I know, in 1 minute, we're going to move. Don?
I would like to say something.
Okay, Don?
I'll try to make this quick. First of all, I want to commend Greg on a year of real accomplishment, real achievements. I'm very impressed by the records that he has set this year, and I really want to thank him. But we do have concerns over this situation this week. One of the problems here at KPFK is our LSB has worked out with management a timeline for informing programmers over preemptions, and unless there is what is described as an emergency or a real crisis, the management at KPFK was caught between the horns of a dilemma where there was a kind of perceived must carry, but there was no way to meet the guidelines that we've worked out with management here over preemptions. But I do believe there are times when we should be empowering management to mandate coverage, but we need to look at that policy. I mean, there may be cases where there's an invasion, let's say, of Iraq, or the assassination of a high government official or something, where we would go as a network to coverage. I will vote no on this motion. The other thing I wanted to say is that if I would say that, Greg, you may have made a mistake only in the wording. For instance, strongly suggesting or something, but I think the wording of this memo did appear to be a must-carry and put people in a position of not being able sometimes to meet the criteria or the requirement that you set out. I'm going to vote in no on Bob's motion because it seems it serves no real purpose, and I think this discussion is the important enrichment of our understanding our mutual concerns between management and board. So I think the motion I'll be voting against, but there is concern here at KPFK among the Programming Oversight Committee and its chairman that we address this issue and have clear guidelines, because the impression here is the network has no must-carry rule, and that this came as a little bit of a shocker.
I need to respond just briefly to Don. And
yeah.
Hang on. No, we have a special rule of order.
Well,
there is a special rule of order which called for us to adjourn at this time, unless there's a motion to extend time, and two-thirds, the special rule of order holds.
Extend time for 5 minutes.
Extend time for 5 minutes. Is there, I heard two people say it, so I'll assume a second. Is there any objection?
I have a substitute motion. Extend time for 10 minutes.
Okay. Is there
second.
A second extension for 10 minutes? Is there any objection to a 10-minute extension of time?
Point of information, Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Is there something on the coordinating committee that we need to, like, something very timely that pertains to the upcoming meeting that we maybe need to look at?
I will interpret a failure of the board to be willing to extend time to address it as tacit assent for the small number of decisions we made concerning the feature stations, the thematic topics to be addressed at the board meeting, and the program for the Friday session. So the motion is now extend for 10 minutes. Is there any objection? Hearing none, go ahead, Greg.
Just two short points. One is that if there was such a tumult in Los Angeles and going on, I am perplexed to know why not one person from that station ever picked up the telephone or took to their emails to write me one line or make one phone call between Saturday and Thursday to express their discontent, their displeasure, their objections, or anything. I received zero communication from anyone except one memo from Dave Adelson, a board member. That's it. In New York, Robert Scott Adams wanted to broadcast it because he felt that it would be a relief from some of the regular pitch programming and that they could have pulled away from some of the hearing and raised money off of it. So his intention in running it was actually as a fundraising measure, and that didn't occur.
Can I respond?
No, because we have too much.
Mr. Chair.
Many people. Yes? This is Mr. Chair.
Yeah, this is Rob Robinson. I thought I asked to be recognized earlier.
Did you? You were probably the person I heard but didn't hear who it was. So I'll put you after AC. Go ahead.
Bless you.
Oh, I was going to say, follow up on what they were saying from KPFK and from the AI, because I think that that the issue here is not whether we want the program. I want a deal because we did discuss the habeas corpus at WPF.
AC, hang on. You're breaking up and we can't hear you. Like, we're missing chunks of what you're saying. Is there anything you can do to get us better sound?
Hear me now?
It comes in and out. Like, we hear half sentences.
Oh. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Same behavior. But do your best, whatever you can do.
No, I was saying that the issue of habeas corpus was raised some time ago, and that Rob Robinson and I had submitted a proposal. I think I consulted with Greg, and I also, we gave the report to our own station manager, in which he was supposedly to get in touch with Greg, and I also proceeded to follow up with some of the lawyers, for example, and WACP lawyers who were willing to participate in this program, if it would take place, but we never heard back from it. So perhaps Rob could get into that more than I'm doing. I wanted to say that I heard discussions about the hearings was going to be in early January on CNN, CBS, NBC, New York Times, and the Washington Post. So I don't quite understand that with that subject being so widely broadcast and discussed, and on NPR, too, I might add. It seems to me it was public knowledge that there was going to be a hearing sometime in January on this question. So, therefore, my issue with Greg that to issue a directive calling for a must carry seems to me to be quite a bit out of order, because it could have been discussed. Of course, he did say that he hadn't heard about it, so, but it could have been discussed even before that. I don't think anyone is concerned about the fact that that the subject is important. The question is the methodology used by the ED in dealing with this question. And I think that to now argue that he didn't understand that we had such a ruling, that doesn't seem to me to hold up, because there was a note sent out on, I think there was 21st, a revised programming policy that was put out, and it talked about the what to do in emergency situations, so forth. So a short-term national programming may be commissioned in response to emergencies or unforeseen events. Such programming will be planned in consultation with local stations. And
Mr. Chair, is there a time limit?
Yeah, please.
Sorry, I wasn't keeping time.
Excuse me, she interrupted the speaker.
Excuse me. It is in order to raise a point of order during somebody's speech, and this point of order has
to be. I have a motion.
Say she had a point of order.
Right, okay. I have a motion to put forward, a substitute motion to Bob's motion on this matter.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Would you let me finish, please? Right.
What is the point of order?
The point is that he has actually he's spoken for several minutes, and now he's putting in a motion. It should have been in the reverse.
I'm going to allow the motion, but I'm going to be stricter on time here on out. Go ahead.
No, I wanted to put in a substitute motion, but I can wait until you allow me the chance.
Now, there won't be any waiting. We have about 2 minutes left on tonight's meeting, so if you're going to put it forward, you need to put it forward.
Okay. That be it resolved that the ED directive to implementing a mandatory must-carry for Thursday, January 18, coverage of the Senate hearing, was not authorized by the PNB. Therefore, until the board establishes a policy, the ED should refrain from mandating or imposing a mandatory rule on the national management staff.
That's it.
I strongly object.
I do, too.
The thing that I'm dealing with right now, I'm concerned about the fact that we may be verging into issues that become personnel matters, and because as they reflect on things like job performance and the rest, but it's touchy because we're also dealing with things like policies on things like must carry, and I would be much more comfortable with the advice of counsel to guide us in this, and we don't have that right now. We're also about at time. So,
no, we're at time. I'm a move adjournment. No, I second.
Okay, just to be clear, you don't have to move adjournment without two-thirds majority. You can call for the orders, and without a two-thirds majority, we adjourn. Is there a motion to extend time?
I move to extend 10 minutes.
I call the orders of the day.
I know. So it's still in order to move to an extension of time when the orders of the day are called. It requires two-thirds to overcome. So there's a motion to extend by 10 minutes. Is there a second?
Yes, there is.
Okay. Would you call the roll, Teresa?
Here with me. I have to move the cat who sat on my roster here. All right.
Well, let's
and this
move
is
the
two-thirds,
cat and then
two-thirds
the
to pass. Is that correct, Dave?
Correct.
Right.
All right. We're going to start with Lydia Brazon.
No.
AC? AC?
Yes.
Thank you. Lisa Davis?
No.
Patty Heffley?
Pass.
Phil Jackson.
Yes.
Ray LaForest.
Yes.
Ambrose Lane.
No.
Bob Lederer.
No.
Alan Minsky.
No.
Rosalinda. Can't hear you.
I said no.
No, okay. Sar Rundawa.
Yes.
Rip Robbins.
No.
Rob Robinson.
Yes.
Deb Shafto.
No.
Serena, I don't think is here. Is Serena, are you here? I don't think she is. Don White?
No.
LaVarn is here. I'll guess this might be the only chance I have a chance to say anything in this meeting because I wasn't acknowledged by the chair. Mary Berg?
No.
No. Evelyn Bethune? Evelyn, I can't hear you. Are you here, Evelyn? I don't think Evelyn's here. Patty Heffley?
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
Okay. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. No. So it failed.